Okay. I apologize. I realized that I was, quoting from the Malbims and the Rashis and the Radaks. I didn't have a source sheet, so I prepared a source sheet. And Baruch Hashem, nice turnout. So I'll have to make more source sheets for next week. We've gone through the Pesukim in Perek Aleph, and there's a few lingering issues I think we should just try to touch upon. So tonight, really the springboard for this is in Perek He. I'm sorry, Pasuk He. It said Beterem. Atzarcha betvetem yadaticha uvetem teitzem irachem hikdashticha. That before you were born, before you were formed in the womb, I already picked you out. So we discussed it just as almost we threw the question up out there. Well, where was the free will? How could Yirmiyahu do anything but if Hashem basically tells him, this is your role in life. You're going to be a navi. We believe one of the yesodos of Yahadus is that a person has free will. So how could it be that Yirmiyahu was told from the beginning, this is your job, no real choice about it? So based upon what I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, if you look in the first source in Yeshiva, Gemara Baba Basra on Yud Dalad Amid Beis, this is the Chaf Dalad 24 Sfarim in the Tanakh. This is the famous Gemara that goes through and quotes what they are, what the order of them is. Whenever you have like an introduction to Navi class, they always they memorize this Gemara. You have to know what the 24 books are. Rashi and Chumash tells us that a baki, a Talmid Chacham, is known as a baki in the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh. So some people, it's good to know. It's good to know them. Tan Rabbanan, Sidrin shows a Neviim. What's the order of Navi? Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim. Yirmiyah, V'Yechezkel, V'Yeshayahu, Shneim Osir, right? Okay, so then the Gemara goes through all these, what the orders are, and wants to try to place the chronology of when Hosea lived, why is he put there. But again, Afal Pi, you see for the first Navi, so to speak, after Neviim Rishonim, right? Yehoshua, Shoftim, and Shmuel are Neviim Rishonim. I'll call it a misconception. Rabbi Menachem Liebtag points out, people think that the Neviim Rishonim and the Neviim Achronim were two different time periods. They live for the same time period, but it's just which ones came first. So right after Malachim comes Sefer Yirmiyah. So skip now, I guess, to the third paragraph, just to put down. Michti Yoshua Kodim Yirmiyahu, right? So Yeshayahu lived before Yirmiyahu. So why is Yirmiyahu placed here? V'chezkel l'kakmei l'Yeshayahu. Why the do? So Bereishit came into Malachim Sofei Churbana. The end of Sefer Malachim is dealing with Churban. V'Yirmiyah Kulei Churbana. So since Yirmiyahu is a sefer that's entirely dealing with the Churban, so therefore it comes, chronologically, goes right after the sefer Malachim. Yechezkel, reishi Churban of a sefer Nechamto. So Yechezkel begins with the Churban, but he ends with Nechama. Vishaya kula Nechamto, right? So samchinan Churban of the Churban of Nechemta and Nechemta. So that's why, even though technically, time-wise, Yirmiyahu did not come right at the end of Sefer Malachim. He's put there in the order of the Chavdal Sifrei Tanakh because they wanted to connect them. So even though, as we saw, that the Yirmiyahu had a lot of, there were six different verbs, and four of them were negative, and two of them were positive, Livnos Lintoa, yet if you go through the Sefer, we're in Perek Aleph, but if you go through the entire Sefer, the math doesn't work out. Where's Bruce Titan? Our mathematician, the math doesn't add up. It's not two-thirds of the Sefer is Churban and one-third is Nechemta. Most of the Sefer is Churban. You have a few prokim where you get that, but really the majority of it is. So the way the Achronim want to explain is that even though at first glance it seems like the majority of it is all about Churban, it's Listor Amanas Livnois. It's a destruction in order to rebuild from that. In people's life's experiences, many times that something will happen that looks to be like a terrible tragedy, but in the end, maybe not so in the end, maybe a few months later, years later, you say, oh, wow, that situation looks so bleak and so miserable and so terrible, you realize that something came out of it that never could have, been brought out with it had you not gone through that beforehand. So, trying to touch a little bit about the idea of the free will. In the next source is a Gemara in Yuma on Pei Beis Amid Beis. What happens if a woman is seized with cravings to eat? So the Gemara says, "Hahi ubra the archa asul kaimi de Rebbe." Almost he said, "Zil chushala, go whisper to her the Yom Kippurhu." Right? By the whisper to her, meaning remind her gently, today's Yom Kippur, really not supposed to be eating. Right? So they did this, chushala. Right? They did this, the chisha kari aleh, and she stopped. So what pasuk did they say about this woman who had a child? When they told the mommy that it's Yom Kippur, the child stopped bothering her. What's our pasuk from Yirmiyahu? while you were in the belly, while you were in there, I knew you. So you see that there's some sort of, I don't know, knowledge. There's some sort of predisposition. There's some sort of teva. There's some sort of yetzer that's already inside of the child. Akri kach, that when you tell them that today's Yom Kippur, because okay, I forgot, and the kid's going to stop. Nofik minei Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was the tzaddik that came out of this pregnant lady. The Gemara tells, I didn't put it on the source, but the Gemara tells afterwards the same thing happened again. There was a woman who they whispered in her ear, by the way, it's Yom Kippur, and the baby didn't stop. The baby kept bawling, so they had to feed her. And it talks about this terrible, like a Bernie Madoff type of character came out of it. Like, someone's like, you know, cheating and gouging prices and ruining people's lives. So you see that the Gemara has these types of things. And really, it's a Rashi and Chumash. In the next source, this is in Toldos, right? These rotsu habonim bikirba, right? When Rivka is pregnant, and the children are running and fighting with each other. V'torim inkim lama zeh anochi v'teilach lidrosh es Hashem. V'yomer Hashem lo shnei goyim v'vitnech. You have two different nations inside of you. U'shnei l'umim imayichi paredu. And they're going to, these people are going to separate from within you. And the older one, one's going to be stronger than the other. The older one, meaning Esav, will serve the younger one. Says Rashi, look who these two goyim. So geyim, which means strong. Strong ones are there. El Antinochus, Antoninus, not Antiochus, different holiday. Antinonus the Rebbe. So Antinonus was the great Roman friend of Rebbe. The Gemara in the Tzinn of Avodah Zarah talks about the tremendous warmth and friendship that existed between the two leaders of the world powers. Rebbe, obviously the leader of the Jewish people, the Antoninus, the leader of the Romans. Shloposke me'al shulchanam lo tznom v'lo chazeres lo yimosek acham v'lo yimosek acham. So the tremendous wealth that they had. But these are the two people who are going to be coming out from Yaakov and Esav. And it's not just Yaakov and Esau that are falling, it's their descendants who are struggling within. So, but again, the struggle is happening where? In utero, right? The kids are already fighting each other. What do you mean? They haven't been born yet, right? We know the famous Rashi, he walks back to the base medrash, and he wants to go out, walks by the Avodah Zarah, and Esau wants to get out. So it seems from this source and the Gemara and Yuma, right, that there is some sort of predisposition. So where's your free will? Hold that for a second. The Gemara, which ironically, you know, is a conversation between Rebbe and Antoninus, right? We saw in the Rashi, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Savi Allah says like this, Om Antoninus l'Rebbe, me'im sa yitzahor sholi pa'odam. When does the yitzahor start to rule over, really mean enter into a person? Mishas yitzira or mishas yitzia? From the time that the child is formed, which means conception, while the kid's still in utero, or is it from shas yitzia, from the time when the baby comes into the world, when they're born? Which would imply, if it's from the time that they're born, then there is no Yetzihara while the child is still inside the mother's stomach. So Amalei, so he answers back to him, Mishas Yetzira, it comes from the moment when he's formed. So Amalei Im Kain, right? Boy b'mei imo v'yotze el Mishas Yetzira. Om Rebbe Dover Zel Lamadim Antoninus, right? I learned this from Antoninus, that he's right. Right, Umikra Messiah, and he has a pasuk that proves it to him. Shneema has a pasuk lePesach Chatatz Rovetz, that the sin is crouching at the door. So if you look in here, it says that's when the child comes out. When the child comes out, that's where it is. But it's not while it's still there. So this is the opposite. This isn't saying that it's not there while you're inside the mommy's stomach. It comes when you're born. And then there's a pasuk in Chumash that works on this as well in Parshas Noach. Right, that man's ways are he's this is, by the way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time Ra appears in the Chumash. Tov we have the first time is by in the very beginning with light, or is referred to as, but I think this, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time the word Ra appears in the Chumash, which is interesting because the Tzadok and the Gra and others, the Bnei Yisrael, right, point out that every time you want to find the source of an idea, you look at the first time it appears in Chumash. So if you want to understand like the essence of evil, what Ra is, this is, I believe, the pasuk, right? Ra min or v'lo osif ola kalis es kol chai kashi asisa. So there's a fascinating Gur Ari on this, and it's also in here, I found, again, I had limited access to Svarim this week. So, but I found this Gur Aryeh, which is, this is going back on in Toldos, but he really has it. He quotes at the end, says La'il Ches Chaf Aleph, which again it's Perek Ches, chapter 21. The Maharal wants to get. Maybe I'll just explain this part a little bit outside. What the difference is? Because again, we had sources that could be argued on both ways. On the one hand, you have a Yetzirah while you're still inside the mother's womb. That's with Yaakov Nesav. On the other hand, no. There's the whole Machlokis with Rebbe, with Antonius, and he's masking. No, really, that your Yetzirah comes only when you're born, but you have no Yetzirah when you are born. So the first Teretz that they want to give is that, well, maybe there's a difference between like some sort of exceptional types of Neshamos. But like really big Neshamos, they already have their Yetzirah, Yetzirah, all this stuff. But everyone else, the rest of us, you know, normal people, normal guys, we get it when we come out. But yeah, the problem with that is, because the Gemara that's in back in source number 2, the Gemara in Yuma, that's actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This idea that we do tell a woman, we remind her that it's Yom Kippur, so that's not for like Yechidei Segula, that's for everybody. So if you have to tell everybody that, what's it called, it's Yom Kippur, so it sounds like that the type of Yetzer Tov, inside it applies to everybody. So the Maharal gives a different answer. The Maharal comes along and says that there's inclinations we have. That, those inclinations which a person has, that's already inside from the very beginning. But it's hard to pinpoint that as we still have free will. The Yates never takes away our ability to make our own decisions. Now, how free will and human divine foreknowledge works, it's a paradox, but we believe that both are true. And I spoke to the Rabbi Wiederblank, who's written an excellent, very thick sefer on this topic, treating it thoroughly. We can resolve that. That's not tonight's topic in 15 minutes, is how to resolve the contradiction. But it definitely is. For those who are willing to invest the time and energy and resources in going through the Inyan, you learn the Inyan, you'll see at the end of the day there is not. There's plenty ways of reconciling that. So let's put that off for a second. But the idea that a person could have inclinations, whether you choose to act upon those inclinations, that's where free will is. A person could have a beautiful singing voice. They choose to become a professional singer or not, that's their free will. Person can be athletic, where they're going to choose to become an athlete. You have the talent, it's inside you. Some people, granted, some people are better singers than others. Some people are better athletes than others. So everyone has talents. Everyone has, you know, unique things about them that makes them special and wonderful. But whether you choose to act upon that, that's where the free will comes in. The yetzer, the inclination of what you have. Some people might have more inclination for kas, or for gaiva, for taiva, for shekir, whatever it is. Everyone has their own peklach. But how a person responds to it, that's where they have their free will.
Is that what they say about someone who has thirst for blood? You can choose to be a murderer or a shayfer.
Yeah, right. The Gemara says, it's in Shabbos, says that if a person is madim, that they're going to spill blood, someone says there's three different options. Very good. That a person who has an inclination to be a bloodthirster, well, depends. You could be a murderer, you could be a shochet, or you could be a mohel. So what's the chiluk between the three? So the Marsha talks it out and says, well, you look at those three things. So obviously, if you have this, it's sublimating your drive. So if you have a drive to spill blood and become a murderer, you're a rasha. If you decide to become a shochet, so you're a beinani, because there's no in, you don't have to eat meat, but if you want to, it becomes a heter, it's a matir, a whole machlokus, and the Rishonim, is it a mitzvah? Say shechita, it's just a matir, but fine, but you did something. You did something to eat meat, so that's the middle path. It wasn't a vera, you didn't kill anybody, but the other extreme is to be a mohel. That's a mitzvah. So you could take whatever inclination, very good, Rabbi Davis, whatever inclination you have, and use it to be a rasha, a beinani, or a tzaddik, right? So, I want to share.
Resolve the question. So, in other words, the nikia, the personal nature comes in from the womb, but the actual yitzhara, where to go with it, that's only
that comes at the shas yitzir at the time the child's born. Yeah. But there's the famous letter from Rav Huttner. Again, I don't have my swarm, but I think it's 128 Kuf Chav Ches. Rav Huttner writes, it's a big disservice that many of these gedolim stories that they portray are gedolim. First of all, it's wrong, but they portray these gedolim as like, you know, perfect from diapers, right? And you think, well, wait a second, when I was in diapers, I wasn't perfect. I was playing with Transformers and G.I. Joes and, you know, all sorts of interesting things. I wasn't perfect. I spilled ketchup on the baby's head once. I'm not a tzaddik. So you have to understand these things is wrong, because it makes it seem like our gedolim didn't struggle. And they did. They became gedolim because they fought the good fight. Rabbi Reisman was talking, he was relating a story from Chaim Ozer, that apparently he was upset with his Rebbe. And what did Reb Chaim Ozer? Reb Chaim Ozer, the Gadol Hador in Vilna. What did Reb Chaim Ozer do when he was a little bocher? So before the, you know, class started, they were learning in the shul. So they opened up the Aron Kodesh, and he put a goat in the Aron Kodesh. Just put a goat in the Aron Kodesh. Like, you know, they're starting, and then you hear the cackling and the thrashing around. They open it up, the thing comes running out. They don't tell those stories. I have the biography of Chaim Ozer, and it's not in there. Baruch Hashem, Yisrael Reisman told the story, so I heard it. But the idea is, does a parent think that way? Does a parent think, oh my goodness, the principal just called me into his office? That's great, because my kid just put a goat in it. My kid's going to be the next Gadol Hador. My kid's going to be the next Chaim Ozer, because he also put a goat in the Aron Kodesh. But we know, because these stories aren't told, and I understand why they're not told, because, you know, we understand why. But we have to understand that there's a certain inyan to it. And I think that's a powerful lesson that you can take from it. Again, Yirmiyahu, we'll see what he did with his talents and with his capabilities. But that is one of the a key issue to talk about when it says that I picked you from the time you were still in the womb. So how that relates within the larger framework. Okay, Shkoyach, everybody.